It was a walk of faith. We know that because the Bible tells us in a New Testament verse, in Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his testimony, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His walk was just as much of a walk with faith as ours is, only I think his was harder. He didn't have the Bible. We can learn a lot of things about God from the Bible and put our faith in what the Bible says. He didn't have that. Now, I do not know how God communicated with Enoch. God did different things before the Bible was completed. He'd speak to people in dreams and visions and by angels and just revelations and signs and wonders and so on and so forth. But this man was so great that he walked with God by faith for 300 years. Man, I've known people who've tried it for a couple of weeks and have quit. Said, I really tried that. It didn't work for me. But 300, I don't know of anyone else in the Bible that has such a record of walking with God for 300 years. And then it says this, by faith, Enoch was translated. That word translated refers to a rapture. He was taken from the earth to heaven that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had a boy, Methuselah, and man, that straightened him out in a hurry. He said, I have to be a man. I have to walk with God. I've got a boy who's following me. And then it says he begat sons and daughters. He had a whole bunch of family. And he said, I have got to set an example for them. Amen? Boy, that is a good thing for moms and dads to do. To hold that newborn, the first one, mine will be 30 years old next month. My oldest child. I can't believe I've been a father for 30 years of age, but that was a moving experience. That day she was born, January 24th, 1982, when I held Rebecca in my hands for the third time, that was a cold, hard slap of reality right in the face. When I realized that little girl was not just a body or a girl that was going to live with me for a little while, but God had entrusted to me an eternal soul. And man, that prompted me to have a closer walk with God. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we got kids following us. We can't be childish. We got to be men. We got to be women. And we got to walk with God. So they'll know our God's real and they'll want to follow him also themselves. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. I want you to notice a few things about his past. Number one is he walked by faith. He walked by faith. We see that by faith Enoch walked. Number two, he pleased God. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How would you like to please God for 300 years? Man, I don't know about you. It's tough for me getting through a week sometimes. For a day, but he pleased God for 300 years. They that are in the flesh, Romans 8:8 says, cannot please God. There's a lot of people in the flesh today. A lot of people living in sin. A lot of people living for self. But in Revelation 4 and verse 11, the Bible says we were created for his pleasure. God was not created for our pleasure. God was not created. He's always been. He's always existed. We exist for his pleasure. And until we get that, we have it vice versa nowadays. And there's too many people that think God exists for their pleasure. He's like some, you know, benevolent grandpa up on a throne with a long gray beard and gray hair. And he just, you know, gives us candy, you know, whenever we want candy. Here you go, kids. A lot of people think of God like that. It's not that way at all. It's the other way. We exist for his pleasure. Too many people have issues with God, conflicts with God, because they think God did something wrong to them or in their life in the past. We need to get over that. There's people who think, you know, God, as long as I'm healthy, as long as all my kids are healthy, as long as my wife's healthy, as long as my family's healthy, as long as we're all safe, as long as I keep my job, as long as I have money coming in, then we're all right. You and me, God, we're all right. But so help me, God, you cross a line with me. And I'm going to have issues with you. And people get bitter at God all the time because they approach him completely wrong. We are created for God's pleasure. If it gives God pleasure in his sovereign plan for your life to have you suffer for the rest of your life and depend on the grace of God, then we need to yield and submit to that. If it gives God pleasure for some reason to take one of your children to heaven, Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job had it right. I'm here for his pleasure. And Job lost his health, he lost his business, he lost all of his children, he lost the camaraderie of his own wife. But in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. I serve you notice today, God's never made a mistake. And if you think he has, the problem is with you and your thinking, not with God. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, but before his translation. I mean, it says here, Enoch was not found. They sent out a search and rescue for this guy. They said, man, where is Enoch? And he was not found because he was translated. And before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. He pleased the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm just here for your pleasure. I want you to turn to the book of Jude, and I want you to notice something else about Enoch. Number three, he preached Christ. He preached Christ. You know, the oldest sermon that's ever recorded in human history is right here in the book of Jude. We actually have part of the words of Enoch's sermon. He was a preacher. He's a prophet. And it says this in Jude, that's the book right before Revelation, second last book in the Bible, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, now I want you to notice his preaching, verse 14, he preached Christ. Verse 14, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I want you to notice here, he preached Christ. And what did he preach about Christ? He preached the second coming of Christ. This isn't Christmas. This is the second coming. This is the Lord coming back to the earth with 10,000s of his saints riding on horses. You can read about that in Revelation 19. You know something interesting? Adam's life overlapped Enoch's life 267 years while Enoch was a preacher. Adam died about 33 years before Enoch was translated to heaven. Imagine that. I mean, they got to see their great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren back then. They lived so long. Adam, the first man, the first family, heard this preaching. Now, what did Adam already know? Adam already knew about Christmas, right? The Bible says the seed of a woman would crush the serpent's head. God told Adam about the Christmas story, about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But not only did Adam, the first human being, know about the Christmas story, the first coming of Christ, Adam, through the preaching of Enoch, the seventh from Adam, knew about the second coming of Christ, the first family. He knew that the Lord was going to come with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch preached Christ. Notice something else he preached. Number four, he preached the universal judgment of all. Now notice what people were like back then and see if it might be a little bit similar to 2011. Verse 15, Jude chapter 1. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that were ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they had ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, against Christ. See, when Enoch lived, he preached universal judgment to execute judgment upon all. He said, the Lord's coming, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, get ready. There is going to be a universal judgment of all, so then every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, we're going to give an account of ourselves to God someday. First of all, on what did we do with his son Jesus? Did we receive him as our Savior, or did we reject him or neglect him? And I hope when you meet God, you're going to meet him as your Savior and not as your judge. Trust Christ as your Savior today. If you haven't already, get ready. But then we're going to be judged for everything we do in this body, whether it's good or evil. Now the world says, go ahead, do whatever you please. There's no consequence. There are consequences. And every single person is going to someday stand before the God of all flesh and give an account for everything they've ever done in their body, whether it's good or evil. Don't let people tell you you can do whatever you want to do with your body, with your spirit. We belong to God and we're going to give an account someday. We need to fear the Lord. We need to depart from evil. Solomon once said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing. How about those things you've done in secret? Or I've done in secret or thought in secret? Praise the Lord this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It cleanses us from all sin. But brethren, you better be sure you're saved and get that under the blood. And let us walk worthy because we're going to give an account. He preached Christ. He preached the universal judgment of all. Notice those four things about his past. And I want to talk a little bit about his present. He walked by faith in a God he never saw, the invisible God. Yet he walked by faith with him for 300 years. He pleased God. He preached Christ. He preached judgment to all. You know, that's your friend, okay? The preacher who preaches judgment is not your enemy. He's your friend, okay? I'm not trying to upset you or disappoint you. I'm trying to get you ready for the inevitable. And I hope you'll receive that as love this morning. You can be ready. God has made a way through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was translated to heaven. What for? What for? I want to talk a little bit about his future now. And I'd like you to find the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. The book of Zechariah has an interesting prophecy. In Zechariah chapter number 4, it'll take all day for some of you, so I'm going to start. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11, it's a hard book to find. Zechariah is prophesying, this is about 500 years before Christ, and he says this, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Now notice the answer. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. This is interesting. Who's these two olive branches? What's this? Why was Zechariah surprised? Because nobody went to heaven when he was alive. Do you understand that all Old Testament saints, all of them, from Abel, the first one murdered. By the way, Jesus said Abel was a prophet. Do you know the first family had a prophet in it? Jesus said that Abel was a prophet over in Luke chapter 11, verse 50 and 51. The first family had a prophet in it. They didn't like what he said. Cain didn't, so he killed him. You know what the oldest profession is? You know what this ungodly world says? prostitution. Only a sick world can come up with that kind of an answer. The oldest profession was farming. God made a big farm, a big garden, put Adam in it to tend the garden. The oldest profession is farming. You know what the second oldest calling was? Preaching. Abel. He says, you have slain, Jesus said, you've slain the prophets from the righteous Abel to Zacharias. All of them. See, God has never left himself without a witness from the first family until now. God has had preachers, prophets, and teachers on this earth to tell us what the Word of God says. It's the goodness of God. Where do pastors come from? Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pastors come from the heart of God. They're not perfect. I know I'm not. I know I'm the last person in the room that is even worthy to say, speak the Word of God. But God loves us. And from his heart, he gives us people who will preach the Word to us. And we're so blessed. Pastor prayed earlier that there's 58 countries in this world today where it is illegal to have a church service. We're so blessed today to have an open church and pastors and teachers and elders, amen, who can share with us the Word of God, give us some light for the road, for our journey. Abel was a prophet. Enoch was a prophet. God's always, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, amen. God just had a long succession of men that he's called, and he's calling men today. And he's got to have some of you young men to surrender your lives to the Lord and continue this calling, preaching the Word, getting people to know the Lord and to be saved. All Old Testament saints, when they died, went to a place called Hades. Hades was a place in the lower regions of the earth that was divided into two compartments. Jesus taught this so clearly in Luke 16 with the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which by the way is not a parable, it's a true story. It says the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments and said to the Lord, send Lazarus that he may just dip the finger and just give me a drop of water on my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. Just give me a drop. And he said, send somebody back to earth. I've got five brothers that aren't saved. I don't want them to come to this terrible place of torment. But the Lord said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. They've got the Bible. They've got the written word of God. Let them hear them. They won't believe if somebody rose from the grave. But there was a great gulf fixed so that those that were in torment could look across the gulf towards people like Abraham and Lazarus who were comforted. Somewhere in the lower regions of the earth. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Every single Old Testament saint went into that lower regions of the earth waiting for what? Waiting for the appearance of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Christ died that his spirit went into heaven. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he said that, he gave up the ghost, and the spirit or the ghost, which are synonymous, went to be with the Lord in heaven. His body went into the grave and lay there for 3 days and three nights until God raised it from the dead. But the Bible says his soul went into hell. And it's the Hebrew word, or the Greek word rather, Hades. And you can read that in Acts chapter number 20, verses 27, and Acts 20 and verse number 31. When he went down into hell, he did something there. It's kind of strange, and I don't know all about it, and there only seems to be a couple references to it in the scriptures. But the Bible says over in the book of 1 Peter 3 and verse 19, I'll read this, then we'll get to 1 Samuel in a minute. by which also he went and preached into the spirits in prison. This is the verse before. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. This is referred to in Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, it says this about Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth when he died, that is his soul. And he preached to the prisoners there, it appears. And these were all of the Old Testament saints that had believed on him, looking forward to Calvary, just as we believe on him looking backwards to Calvary, but they didn't know his name. And so Jesus came and showed himself to that, and then the Bible says he emptied out that entire compartment, Jesus being the first fruits of them that slept, the first fruits of them that died, and he took all the Old Testament saints with him to heaven. And since that time, all of us, when we die, now go directly to heaven, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. So I don't know about you, I'm glad I live in the New Testament times rather than the Old Testament. Can you imagine being Abel, being the first guy down there? When Cain slew him, he's in a place of comfort and everything, but he's all alone. And then a bunch of other people start showing up. There was a guy named Saul, king of Israel. Started out really well. Believed in the Lord, was filled with the Holy Spirit, preached, God used him. But then he got a big head. God can't use proud people. The Lord knoweth the proud afar off. I mean, God gets away from proud people. You get a big head, God's going to distance himself from you. And pretty soon, Saul couldn't get in touch with God anymore. And boy, did he just degenerate. He just fell into the depths of despair. Just really, really sad story. He couldn't hear from God anymore. I hope you're not at that place. Some of you are. You haven't heard from God in a long time. That's not normal. That is not normal. You haven't heard from God in a long time. Amen? Maybe you need to get close to the Lord. Draw nigh to the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. He went to a witch in Endor to try to get some direction for his life. And the story is here in 1 Samuel chapter number 28. And he goes to this witch and disguises himself, and he says to this witch, he wants her to do what we call today a seance, which is a bunch of deceit. There is no such thing. But that's another subject, another time. But notice in verse 11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring what? Up unto thee. And he said, bring me what? Up, Samuel. Samuel's in the lower regions of the earth. But when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And notice what the woman saw. I saw gods ascending out of the earth. What'd she mean by this? Look at the next verse. He, Saul, said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, what? Why hast thou disquieted me? I was at rest. I was at peace. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, they shall enter into rest upon their beds. Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Where was Samuel? Was he in heaven? No, he's in the lower regions of the earth. Just like all Old Testament saints. Who are all these gods? That's a small g, sometimes small g's. Gods, that word is sometimes used about demons, sometimes it's used about false gods, sometimes it's used to describe mankind. All these gods standing up. What do you look like? Like Samuel. Who was it? Samuel. Samuel. You know the problem with seances today? They say they bring up people from the dead. Guess what? They're not down there. They haven't been down there since Christ rose from the grave. And believe me, if you ever did get one that down there, from down there, who is still in the compartment of Hades, called hell, they're not going to tell you everything's fine. You're going to be okay. They'll start screaming out to you to get saved. Not come to this place. Don't fall for that stuff. Now, I know I'm off track here a little bit. But I wanted you to notice all Old Testament saints go to the lower regions. Who are these two olive branches? There were two Old Testament men who went to heaven. Both were raptured alive. One was Enoch. The other was Elijah. One was Enoch. One was Elijah. The Bible says Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horsemen of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Only two Old Testament saints in all of history ever went up to heaven. Who are these two? What was the answer God gave to Zechariah? These are my two anointed ones. Now, in closing, turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. If I got this right, and I don't know what you base everything you believe on, I base everything I believe on with comparative Bible study. 3017 before Christ, Enoch went to heaven. He was kind of like Abel down in the lower regions. He was like, why am I the only one here? 3017 B.C. 896 B.C., somebody else joins him. His name's Elijah. 500 B.C., Zechariah says, who are these two olive branches? And the Lord says, these are my two anointed ones that stand before me. Now, with that in mind, let's read to Revelation chapter number 11 and make another point or two about Enoch, and then we'll close. Verse 1, and there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, etc. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's over 6 years. Hebrew calendar, 360 days divided up. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. The only way, the only other place they're ever mentioned is in Zechariah 4. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, they must be killed in this manner. They must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophesy. Who does that sound like? Who called fire down from heaven once and consumed 50 men and then a little while later 50 more men? Elijah. Who prayed and shut up the rains for 3.5 years he had that much power with God? Elijah. Elijah. They have power over the waters that turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that's the Antichrist, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and, notice this just for a moment, kill them and their dead bodies. Shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, it should be pointed out here, as I have before, how on earth can everybody on the earth see these two dead bodies? Can you imagine living in the 1800s or the 1700s or the 1600s and having some skeptic point out those verses and asking you to explain them? What would you say? We don't have any problem explaining them today. We got television, satellite TV, and so on and so forth. You can see anything halfway across the world the second it happens nowadays. I'm saying that things are lining up on earth for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And we do live in a day when everybody on earth, verse 9, can see their dead bodies in the grave, on the streets there in Jerusalem. We do live in that day. How did John know this? These aren't John's words. These are the words of God. The Bible is the word of God, every word of it. And the Holy Spirit knew about cell phones and satellites and internet and TV and so on and so forth. He knew all that stuff 1900 years ago. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing has ever occurred to God. If you went up to God and said, did it ever occur to you? He'd say, no. Nothing's ever occurred to me. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, if I got this right, I want to close by saying this. I said Enoch's name means dedicated. I don't know if he's one of the two olive branches or not. It's the only thing that makes sense in my Bible interpretation. I may be wrong. But if this is true, then in heaven today, hanging over the head of Enoch and Elijah are a death sentence. Were they, just like Jesus Christ knew from the foundation of the world, that he would have to come and be slain, so they know they're going to come and die, and be killed. Their dead bodies are going to lie in Jerusalem streets. Then after 3.5 days, the spirit of life comes back in them, and they hear a voice from heaven says, come up hither, and they get raptured again. They get to go twice. If I got it right. If there was ever a man that lived up to his name dedicated, it was Enoch. How would you like that hanging over you? But I think Enoch has walked so close to God for so long, he just said, whatever, Lord. Whatever you got me to do, you want me to do, I'll do it. And someday, Enoch and Elijah will probably come back and for 6 years preach on this earth again. Torment people with their words and their works, and then be killed. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. He preached Christ. He preached universal judgment. And someday I believe he's going to give his life for the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the Word of God with Elijah. I don't know how else to translate these verses. I know this was a long sermon today, but I hope we'll think about Enoch in closing and just say, God, if he could do it without the Bible, without a church to go to, cannot I walk with God? Can I please God? Can I preach Christ? Can I so dedicate my life to the Lord? I'd be willing to die for the Lord. I can't wait to meet this guy. If I ever get near him, I'm going to shake his hand and say, wow, you sure influenced my life. I want to thank you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Oh God, thank you for giving us these Bible characters that we can study. Lord, who are so much better than I am. But they give us something to aim for. Oh God, in a day when people were filled with ungodly deeds and hard speeches that they spoke against you, Lord, it's the same today. But Enoch walked with God and pleased God in the midst of those days. Lord, help us to be like that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's